Coming up on today's show.
Once I became Catholic, this really sort of shifted my whole lens of how I pursue fitness. One is that it's no longer the highest priority in life.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there, for whichever platform or platforms, plural, you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join, and which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Normally, this is where I do my ministry moment. If you will allow me, however, this week I feel moved to share some sad news you might not have heard. 8 days ago, last week, Sunday, August 27, George Rose passed away at the age of just 57 years old. He had been the guest back on episode 188 of this show 1 year ago, actually, September 5th, 2022. The New York Yankees put out a press release last Monday about his passing. And in case you didn't hear me say it on probably either episode 225 with Gene Zanetti or episode 230 with Jared Zimmerer, or maybe I mentioned this on both, Dr. Kevin Vost passed away back in April. He had just been my guest on episode 215 in February and was only 62 years old and in top physical shape. I posted about both of these deaths, George Rose and Dr. Kevin Vost, in the Facebook group, but it occurred to me that if you're not in there, you might not have known. Having nothing to do with this show, I also found myself very saddened by the news last week of the passing of WWE superstar Bray Wyatt at the age of just 36. His hometown is actually only about an hour from where I live. Unfortunately, there's a lot of sadness out there these days, and as much as I hope my ministry moment segment each week does help you or at least spur some thinking, I know that there is great power in prayer. So please continue to keep the families of these folks who have passed away in your prayers. And remember to give thanks to God for all your friends and family who are still here that you're blessed to have in your life, no matter how near or far. Maybe you have some sports-related memories with them, but regardless, savor the gift that God has given to you in there being a visit, a phone call, a text message, an email, or a social media post away. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest got into martial arts in high school and competed in Taekwondo in college, along with a little Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That got him heavily into fitness and especially kettlebells, which led to him starting various fitness platforms and writing books related to minimalist methods of strength and conditioning. On the faith side, he has an amazing reversion story, and next month will mark the release of his fifth book, this one to be titled The Best Argument for God. He also has his own podcast that teaches listeners why it's better to be better at many things, not best at just one, covering everything from fitness and mental health to business and writing to philosophy and theology. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Pat Flynn.
It's great to be here, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You bet. I'm looking forward to this. I think you might be calling in from Pennsylvania, although I could be wrong, but where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size, including where you fell in terms of oldest, youngest, etc.?
Yeah, well, alert the fact checkers. I'm currently in Wisconsin now. I moved from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin about, 4 years ago. So just need to update the bio. Family size was just four: mom, dad, myself, and my sister.
And you were older or younger than your sister?
I am 4 years older than my sister.
Okay. I teased it in the intro, meaning that during today's conversation, you'll be sharing an amazing reversion story with us. But for the record, you were baptized Catholic and the family you just told us about was Catholic, yes?
Yes, that's correct, Bruce.
Typically, a guest on this show will talk about how they played all kinds of sports when they were a kid and then eventually, say, high school and or college, found the one that they'd fully commit to. But you actually weren't active in sports participation as a kid. Tell that story.
No, my favorite forms of exercise growing up were sitting and resting, particularly. I had some good athletes, especially on my mom's side of the family, a lot of baseball players. I was never particularly interested in that myself. My grandfather would tell stories that he would always laugh at it whenever I was playing baseball. I was just out there kind of picking dandelions and doing somersaults out in the outfield. So that didn't really stick. I mostly grew up in a rather unathletic and unhealthy environment, very libertarian in terms of the amount of food I was able to consume and the amount of sugar I was able to drink. So I was actually your quintessential chubby kid growing up. And I was not involved really in any organized sports, at least seriously. I was the kid who, you'd come over to my house to play video games and watch movies and eat Doritos and all that sort of stuff. So all to say, I wasn't a huge physical inspiration for most of my upbringing. And as is sometimes the case, you grow a little bit tired of looking and feeling a certain way. So come around high school, I decided I wanted to try and make a turn in a little bit different of a direction, but I'm sure we can explore that as we go along.
Yeah, I did mention in the intro that you competed in Taekwondo in college along with a little Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Where did you go to college and how did you get started with those activities given everything that you just told us?
Yeah, so in high school, I had my epiphany, if you will, to say, hey, it's not exactly fun being the kind of kid in the group of friends that's picked on for your weight and appearances and stuff like that. It wasn't particularly enjoyable. So I wanted to start trying to get in shape. I wanted to start losing weight and trying to get stronger. But I didn't really want to go to the weight room. Why? Because all the friends that picked on me were there, right? I just didn't. I didn't want to hear it. Hey, no, I did have friends. This isn't like some hugely traumatic story, but those things kind of bother you. So almost by chance, one day, this is the early high school, I was just driving by a martial arts studio. It was a Taekwondo studio, and it had an advertisement for a free lesson. And I went in with a friend of mine, and we did it almost kind of sarcastically because we were just kind of high schoolers with nothing better to do, right? But anyways, long story short, I fell in love with it. My friend thought it was a joke. He never came back, but I fell in love with it. My parents weren't particularly interested in investing me in any sort of physical thing like this because they knew my history with that, which was always extremely fleeting. So I begged the instructor to just let me clean toilets and work for him just for lessons and tuition. And he graciously accepted. And he was a wonderful coach. He not only was a tremendous martial arts instructor, he himself was very fit and strong, knew the fundamentals of fitness and nutrition really well. So I was very blessed to be set on a proper path in terms of scientific and sustainable exercise principles and eating principles from a young age. Unfortunately, I think many people are gripped by so many of the gimmicks and fads and falsehoods of the fitness industry. I was able to largely avoid that just because of good mentorship. So I got, I started getting in pretty good shape in high school. I underwent a pretty profound physical transformation of just losing a ton of weight and gaining a lot of confidence just through the martial arts and weight training and stuff like that. And I was quite serious about it by the time I got into high school. So one of the first things I looked for was the Taekwondo team. A lot of colleges have a competitive Taekwondo team. I was fortunate that mine did as well. And I got enrolled in that. And we were never particularly good. It was interesting. I went to Westchester University, which for whatever reason competed in the Ivy League division. And it was kind of funny because, our Taekwondo team was very small, maybe like 10 or 15 kids. But all these other Ivy League schools, UPenn and Harvard, they have massive Taekwondo teams. So it's like 100 people. So we would always get obliterated, but it was always a good time. And you always learn something. And it was great physical formation for me. Great training, deepened my love and practice of martial arts. And it also introduced me to this thing called a kettlebell. It was my college Taekwondo instructor who kind of saw the way I was training with traditional weights and barbells and dumbbells. And he said, hey, there's this other tool that we've been using in our gym. It's a little unconventional. It looks like a cannonball with a handle, but we found it's really effective for, you know, improving your conditioning, especially as it's relevant for martial arts. So come over and let me show you it sometime. And he showed me some of the basic kettlebell exercises, like kettlebell swings and snatches. And I immediately fell in love with that modality of training. I wanted to explore it further. And it was also pretty fortuitous because as I was going to college, I needed to kind of figure out a way to help pay for things. So I thought, you know, hey, being a trainer and a coach sounds like a pretty good idea. So I went and got all the relevant certifications, personal trainer certifications and kettlebell certifications. So I was really able to do a lot of that, which I loved, and, you know, eventually started some businesses around and got some book deals around.
Wow.
As a way just to sort of help, you know, pay my way through college.
Yeah. One of the certifications helped me with this. You were the first one at the time. Was it the Russian?
Yeah. So it was the Russian Kettlebell Challenge. I was the youngest person at the time to ever go through that certification. It was really a mix of instruction and hazing, hence the name Russian Kettlebell Challenge. So I was very proud of that. And I've really been kind of in that school of thought ever since. I do a lot of different things, but to this day, I am still writing material. In fact, I have another book under contract right now that's bringing me, now that I finished this philosophy book, now I got to shift gears again and go right back to writing about fitness again. I have to crank out another kettlebell book in the next year. Yeah.
Okay, but right now the audience is saying, wait a minute, what happened? They're getting all caught up in talking about sports, and Pat told Bruce at the beginning of this interview that he was baptized Catholic and that his family was Catholic. So where did that go? And this point that we're at, audience, with where Pat is in his life right now, the story you're hearing him tell, he drifted away from the faith. And we're going to break this into two parts, meaning Pat's reversion story. So Pat, first, let's have you start by sharing with the audience where your thought process had come to. And then I'll come back and I'll ask you to tell us what turned things around and brought you back. So go ahead and take us through the path you went away from the Catholic Church that you'd been baptized into, because I know we skipped over what I think was maybe even middle school years when maybe you got pointed away.
Yeah, that's right. So to rewind the tape and then play it through again from a different angle or perspective, I grew up in a very nominal household. I'm sure many people are familiar with this, right? They call them Christers, you know, sometimes go to church on Christmas and Easter type of thing.
Yeah.
So never had a strong religious formation. In fact, had an exceedingly thin religious formation growing up. The faith was not something that was ever really actively discussed or even so much as encouraged in my household growing up. So, right, the foundations weren't particularly robust, let's say. So much that, you know, by the time I get to middle school, and in fact I can really remember it with quite a bit of clarity because it was so significant, I was in this will date me for better or worse, but in the sixth grade was when for me anyways was when 9/11 happened. And it was also the year when we first started kind of exploring, you know, as much as you do in the sixth grade, you know, modern cosmology and theories of the origins of the universe and stuff like that. So I didn't realize it at the time, but in that year I was hit with what are two of like the bigger and more perennial objections against the existence of God, in at least a particularly striking way. One is, of course, the problem of pain and the problem of suffering. You know, why so much of this awful stuff going on in the world? Mm-hmm. And the other is concerning ultimate explanations. Do we actually need God to explain everything? And I remember thinking, as the teacher sort of outlined the theory of the Big Bang and all that, again, in a very general way, at least it's, hey, this seems sort of in conflict with whatever theology I received in kindergarten about, like, where's Adam and Eve? Where's the snake in all this, right? Like, these seem like different stories, and I don't see how they fit together type of thing, right? So, you know, it's not like you throw your hands up at that moment, like, that's it, I'm an atheist. I would have had no idea what that even meant at the time. But those were initial, I would say, very strong seeds of doubt, if you will, that at least caused me to question certain things that I had been taught, even if in a very thin way, growing up. And then over time, you know, through middle school and high school, I just entered in through various ways the world of philosophy. Some of it was through certain writers. I was a big fan of Mark Twain. I still am. And he had a number of essays that explored various philosophical themes like free will and determinism. And that just started really causing me to want to go deeper into what I thought were just very interesting philosophical puzzles.
Well, and plus, if I can just jump in, there was a point in time where your parents stopped going to church. And so that made you take a step back as well, yes?
That's right, because of course you just kind of follow the example of what your parents do in all sorts of ways. It wasn't like I had the ability to drive myself to church anyways, even if I wanted to at that point, right? Mm. So yeah, that's another significant aspect of it. And of course, you know, as with anything, there's always a confluence of different causes and influences. So that's one of them. Anyways, to condense the story a little bit, once I really got into philosophy proper, it was through all those sort of old atheists and existentialists, particularly thinkers like Nietzsche and that school of thought. And that really just sort of flavored and colored my perspective for many years, you know, through the years that I just got discussing from the athletic or fitness standpoint, you know, definitely all through undergrad and even after that for several more years as well. Mm-hmm.
I realize that I deviated earlier in the show, audience, where I normally do my ministry moment, and now I want to just do a little housekeeping quickly before I have Pat continue on with where and when and why and how he turned the corner. Last week, during my interview with LSU football senior offensive analyst Terry Malone, I mentioned how a change had been made at one point relative to back-end admin-type work on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which has resulted in a monthly cost to me of $85. To some, that might not seem like much, but keep in mind there's also the $20 monthly fee from the podcast hosting company that stores and distributes out the audio files of all these episodes for me. So those two items alone combine for $105 a month. I have openly stated that this is a ministry for me, meaning something that I'm doing on my own to both answer a calling to it that I felt and aiming to move more people further in their faith life. It's not my job, though. I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. So expenses like the various costs that I report, well, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to hopefully cover those. You've heard me thank guests and listeners alike who have been kind enough to make a financial gift to my ministry, which helps with these bills that come my way. If you are finding value in what I do, if you're benefiting from listening to this show, it's helping your faith life, and you like Catholic Sports Radio, I ask that you prayerfully consider my ministry as part of your tithing. The blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure. And you type in the exact amount into that online platform, meaning whatever amount you're comfortable giving, it's entirely up to you. There's not a drop-down list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. For those that are hesitant to put credit card information on the internet, I understand. Simply contact me instead, and I will give you the details for sending me a check through the mail, which others have done in the past. You can either message me through social media or send an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will personally write you back with the relevant information to do that. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount or the method, meaning online or check, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode, with your permission, of course. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will give a generic on-air thank you without naming names. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Pat, go ahead and continue with your reversion story and where you left off, meaning what turned for you that pointed you back to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and as always, Bruce, there's a confluence of different influences and causes, but at least from the philosophical perspective, it was actually a sort of going deeper into the atheistic, naturalistic worldview. And for people who are unfamiliar with those terms, naturalism is really a philosophically developed form of atheism, and atheism is the position that you think that there is or claim that there is no God. So as I was wrestling with questions that seemed particularly important to me, questions of why is there anything and not nothing instead, or questions concerning how does human consciousness arise or whether we have free will, I realized that every particular instance, the atheistic naturalistic worldview did not have the adequate resources to explain these relevant phenomena. Mm. So at some point, you know, Bruce, I remember I just had enough. I threw my hands up, literally threw my hands up this time and said, okay, I don't know what the truth is, but I'm pretty sure this isn't it.
Wow.
And at that point, I decided I needed to just start afresh as best as I knew how to do. And, you know, it's funny, you never kind of look around at the solutions in your own neighborhood. So it wasn't like I immediately was, yeah, maybe I should go back to the Catholic Church or Christianity or something like that. You always kind of look for the more exotic options at first. I don't know why we do that, right? But it's a very American thing, right? So I first wanted to go back to those pagan thinkers that I was, you know, broadly familiar with in my intro to philosophy courses, Plato and Aristotle, but had never really done a very extensive study of. And as I got deeper into, call it perennial philosophy, I began to see a picture of the world, a philosophical picture of the world that was much more holistic, much more intellectually satisfying, that did seem to be able to answer the big questions that I had been wrestling with at least more adequately than an atheistic one. And one of the major turning points for me was when I really stumbled upon St. Thomas Aquinas and the Thomistic tradition in general. And Thomism just refers to any philosopher that sort of follows in the footpaths of St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the church. And I really always saw him, I still see him as somebody who sort of completed or perfected that great project of perennial philosophy, synthesizing and unifying all the great insights from so many philosophers before him that were true. And then, of course, weaving it in with the great truths of Revelation and the Catholic faith. And at last, I really did feel like I had found a philosophical system that was extremely robust in terms of its explanatory power of making sense of questions of being and meaning and morality and identity and destiny and all these questions that are important to all of us, right? But as is the case when you study many Christian philosophers, they're not so neat and tidy about keeping philosophy over here and theology over there. It's always deeply intermixed, right? So I was kind of getting fed all this theology, and I'm not like off put by it. In fact, a lot of it seems to make a whole bunch of sense to me. And so gradually over time, as always, you know, big shifts like this for most people anyways are a gradual purpose. I began to consider seriously again, not just Christianity, but Catholicism in particular, again, intellectually, but not just intellectually. I remember, you know, a big moment for me was, it was Christmas Eve one night, and I had not come back into the church, and my wife had not even been baptized at this point. She was never baptized, and she is now. She had her own conversion story, experience that was parallel to mine, but quite distinct from mine. And I remember just telling Christine, that's my wife's name, I need to go to a Catholic Mass tonight. I can't explain it. I just feel like I need to go to a Catholic Mass. And it was snowing like crazy outside. I don't see particularly well. I wear big glasses, super dark. So not something I would ever normally want to do. Right. And she's like, okay, you do whatever you need to do. So I went out and I went to just the nearest parish that I knew of. And I went to the Mass, and it was a profound experience for me, especially once the Eucharistic prayer and the Eucharist was confected. At that point, I just knew I was right where I was supposed to be. And then the rest, as they say, is sort of history from there. And of course, there's more to the story of, you know, bringing Christine and the family and everyone, you know, kind of along the journey with me. But that was a point of culmination for me, to be
wonderful,
sure.
Wonderful. And audience, as I hope you can tell clearly, Pat just has absolutely, absolutely embraced his Catholic faith. And you're going to hear more examples of that to come, because now, Pat, to combine faith with sports, in the book You Are That Temple by our late friend Dr. Kevin Vost, you referred to, quote, what happens in the gym as opportunities for virtue, end quote. Mm-hmm. How so?
Yeah, well, God bless Dr. Kevin Vost. What a wonderful and beautiful man he is. And boy, do I owe so much to him. He was always just going out of his way for me in so many ways. So yeah, just God bless him. What a gift that was to have his friendship in my life. But yes, that's right. I contributed to his wonderful book, You Are That Temple. And I talked about how my conversion really kind of shifted my perspective on fitness. Because, you know, it is true what St. Augustine says, that, you know, you made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until they rest in thee. And a lot of what kind of inspired me in my fitness pursuits, especially when I was younger, were kind of vicious attitudes, right? Pride, vanity, especially once I got out of the, you know, I just don't want to look and feel awful anymore. It became it soured a good thing. You know, trying to be healthy, trying to be physically strong is itself, of course, a good thing, but it could be done for the wrong reasons. And this is not uncommon in fitness circles to see this sort of the fitness efforts wrapped in a greater narcissism that I would say in the overall scheme of things, we might have a sort of negative net spiritual effect going on here. That was definitely the case for me. Now, of course, it's also not a good thing to completely neglect your health. That would be a sin against prudence and possibly issues of intemperance and gluttony and all that as well. So we know that the good life, the moral life, definitely has a strong physical aspect to it because we are embodied souls, right? God gave us this body, and that is a very good thing. And we have real obligations to care for our body and to be healthy and try to be prudent in the types of decisions we make with the activity we do with our body and the things that we eat. So once I became Catholic, this really sort of shifted my whole lens of how I pursue fitness. One is that it's no longer the highest priority in life, which I think is, you know, important. Sometimes people just talk about religion is just like, what is your ultimate commitment? And I think if fitness or just looking a certain way is your ultimate commitment, that's a problem, because that's not going to perfect you in the way that God intended. Of course, what's going to perfect you is union with God himself and friendship with God himself. So fitness, you know, should be somewhere right on your value scale, but it should not be at the top of it. Mm-hmm. It should definitely not be at the top of it, but it shouldn't not be on there at all either. So Catholicism helped me sort of reorient that, and I think sort of put fitness in its proper place, where I still really care about fitness, but now I can see fitness as something that hopefully, with God's grace, is facilitating other virtues or perfections of powers. It's a way that I think you can not only just remain healthy, which of course is a very good thing, but also develop other virtues, including temperance, as we know, one of the cardinal virtues, and fortitude. So for people who aren't totally familiar of the cardinal virtues or the hidden virtues, you have prudence, practical wisdom, temperance, fortitude, and justice. And I often kind of joke in the fitness world, it seems like we definitely have two areas where we can practice two of the cardinal virtues. I mean, fortitude is like kind of what you're going to need to develop or can develop from just pushing through hard workouts. It's doing the difficult thing because it's good. And temperance is, hey, fasting occasionally. That's a good thing, right? The Catholic tradition has always recommended various forms of fasting, you know, to kind of constrain and discipline the appetites. That way we can stay focused on the true good. So for me, Bruce, it's a matter of reorientation, resetting certain priorities. Mm-hmm. So that way the thing that is good in of itself doesn't become soured overall or sort of wrapped up in wider vicious tendencies, but hopefully can be integrated into the whole of the good life, into the whole of the holy life. That's what I've been trying to do best I can since, of course, my coming back into the Catholic faith.
Indeed, indeed. Wow, wonderfully said, wonderfully said. And that was under the context of the You Are That Temple book by Dr. Kevin Vost. So speaking of books, I mentioned in the intro that next month you have your fifth book coming out titled The Best Argument for God. Is this strictly a theology book, a philosophy book, meaning it's all about faith and not about fitness?
Yes, it's strictly a philosophy book. It's not even so much a theology book. There's a few theological themes that are explored in there, but since my background is philosophy, I try not to even pretend to be a theologian on radio shows if I can help it. And what I'm doing there is exploring many of the themes in much greater depth that I sort of highlighted in this conversation of how do we make a comparison, a philosophical comparison, between a theistic worldview where God is sort of back of everything and a naturalistic worldview where sort of at the bottom of reality, it's just atoms and the laws we use to combine them. Which of these worldviews is the better one, is the true one? And what I do in this book is I take a pretty wide and deep analysis, looking at certain features of the world, as philosophers do, that we think need to be explained by a worldview. Features like contingency, which is just the fact that some things are, but they don't have to be, right? Or human consciousness, or the moral dimension. How do we make sense of morality, or the rational dimension? How do we make sense of rationality and logic, or even human free will? And at every one of those points, I make the argument that either the theistic explanation is the only possible or only conceivable explanation here, that naturalism can't offer a good explanation or any explanation at all, or at least that theism offers a more robust and simpler explanation. So it's a big project. It's 256 pages. Mm. It's not the easiest read, but what I say is, if you are interested in this material, which I know a lot of people are, I'm going to help you get through it. So I make sure that I break down all the difficult concepts and terminology to really help people understand what goes on in the so-called God debate, at least among philosophers.
I like it. And folks, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I'm going to put a link to Pat's website. And obviously, when his book comes out in October, his website, his social media, wherever you choose to engage with him, you'll see the announcement, you'll see links. So if you're interested in The Best Argument for God, look for that in October. And as I said, you can start through the link that I'll put on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pat, I read two things that I wonder if you still do, which are, on Fridays, your family abstains from meat, meaning not just during Lent. And secondly, you're a big fan of extended brisk walking, although not just for exercise, but as one of your favorite ways to spend time with your wife and children. Are both of those still in play as you and I speak today?
Yes, solidly yes. Every Friday, we abstain from meat. And all the children are very good sports about that, by the way. Even when they're really, you know, wanting their pepperoni pizza, they're good sports for it. And yes, the daily brisk walk is still one of my personal favorite things, always trying to get out with the wife and kids on that, at least once per day. Sometimes we manage to get in more than one walk. You know, I'm very fortunate. I work for myself from home, and my wife is home, and we homeschool, so we have a sort of schedule that allows for this sort of thing. But you know, I think it's worth doing what you can to carve that out, not just for the health aspects. You know, walking is so good for you, but the bonding aspect,
exactly,
you know, between people that you care about. Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. What great examples those are. And audience, this is why these conversations take place on Catholic Sports Radio. These are lessons you can take away and apply to your own personal situation. So if one or both of those are an idea for you, then let's thank Pat for bringing those forward. Pat, I always like to close by having the guests share about the time that they've spent in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that they and their spouse have made. So if you would fill in those blanks for us.
Yes. Well, like I said before, my wife herself was never baptized. She had no religious upbringing whatsoever. Mm. And, you know, I can absolutely say that our becoming Catholic radically transformed, probably saved, but radically transformed our entire conception of marriage and,
wow,
and how we live that out. And,
wow,
and really every single aspect of life, you know, including openness to life and seeing what the objective of marriage is, which of course is, you know, man and woman helping each other get to God at the end of the day, right? That was a conception it was completely lacking before when we first got together.
And how long have the two of you been married?
Almost 10 years now, Bruce.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And the children, how many are there?
We have 5, and they range from effectively 10 down to 1. Boy is the oldest, rest are girls.
Wow. Okay. Well, Pat, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your witness with us. God bless you and your family. And it was really great to have you on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you, Bruce. God bless. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Folks, as a nod to Pat and all the years that he has spent in the gym, in everything that you heard him describe that he does, it's been quite some time, unfortunately. I thought it would be fitting if we would close this week's episode with the prayer to Saint Sebastian, our patron saint of athletes. So let's do that together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear commander at the Roman Emperor's court, you chose to be also a soldier of Christ and dared to spread faith in the King of Kings, for which you were condemned to die. Your body, however, proved athletically strong and the executing arrows extremely weak. So another means to kill you was chosen, and you gave your life to the Lord. May athletes be always as strong in their faith as their patron saint so clearly has been. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.